Hey, you guys. It's Billy West, and it's my podcast. Stand by for action. I don't know if there'll be action. I could be lying. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I think I'll use my real voice instead of that phony, big, dumb announcer. Stingray! 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 Not bad. Not bad for an amateur. What do you think, Jim? Just your head up and down, or just no? Stingray! Stingray! Jim Gomez with me. Why am I singing Stingray? It's the podcast. Shut up. Shut this guy up. Under the sea, and my podcast is pretty good. Even though we sound like amateurs, we're gonna get it done. I got an offer to do a silly podcast, and I'm glad I did. So just listen as I make a fool out of myself. Oh. Podcast! Podcast! Podcast!
Hey, boy! Okay, J-Go, what we doing on today's show? I call you J-Go because I wanted to get some flavor in here. You know, it's just kind of a little not hip. Am I crazy?
Yeah, you are, and we're not hip.
We're not. And
let's just avoid the whole J-Go thing for now, please.
Well, what's up today?
Today, we have, first up, the second installment of Billy Bastard the Serial.
Good.
Yes, and to take it away, Garrison Freeloader.
Well, hello, everybody. It's the old Prairie Oyster here. Today, we've got a story for you that takes place in Detroit, Michigan, a place that doesn't really exist anymore. Now, to sing us into the wonderful story, may I present Floyd Smoot and the All Day Hangovers. Take it away, Smoot.
Billy Pond, his mom's a tank, just one too many times. This is the lowest he could go in his many crimes. His poor mother's lung collapsed and now she needs a shunt. It's fourth down late, fourth quarter, looks like Billy needs to punt. His mother told him to get his drunken ass right off the couch. And don't come back till you have a job and stop being such a slouch. Billy staggers off and vows to get back her air tank. With his best friend Mikael by his side, you can take that to the bank.
Well, hello there. Welcome back. This is Garrison Freeloader, and in case you missed it, this is what happened last time on our podcast serial, Billy Bastard, Amateur Human Being. Billy daydreams of himself as XJB, the ultimate blaxploitation superhero, the baddest, pimpiest, sharpiest, dressiest mother-father around. The ultimate anti-hero and righteous savior to everyone but himself. Except today is different from all those endless days of chronic drinking, unbridled flatulence, and endless daydreams, because today is the day Billy has decided to do the right thing.
Billy, you pawned my oxygen tank for the last time! You get out and get a job or I'm kicking you out!
Ma, look, don't throw me out. I promise I'll go get a job. I give you my word I'll get that oxygen tank back. Miguel, I gotta get a job.
No problemo, Billy. This is the land of opportunity. You come with me and I'll take you to a place where you can get some work.
Oh, it's one of you laborers looking for the American dream. Emigre? Nah, you wish. You're riding with the Minutemen now, Beaner.
Meanwhile, back at Billy's mom's double-wide trailer, Mrs. Bastard and Gus, the pet parrot, sit on the couch watching TV. A weatherman is standing in front of a map.
And you can see this massive carbon front moving around the globe, and elsewhere we have a major forest fire engulfing most of North America. Meanwhile, temperatures continue to rise in the southern and northern hemispheres of the Earth. And in other unrelated news, the polar ice caps continue to melt at an alarming rate. And here's an interesting footnote. It's being reported that the sea level is on the rise the world over. Places like Venice, Italy, and Staten Island, New York, and, well, all of Florida is slowly submerging. It's funny, that's where our studio...
Mrs. Bastard looks on with concern as Gus the parrot shakes his head.
Mm-mm. God works in mysterious ways.
I don't know. I don't think God would have nothing to do with this.
Gus stares at the TV set. The wheels inside his little bird head are beginning to turn. Somewhere on a desolate stretch on the U.S.-Mexican border, where, at gunpoint, the four captives are being instructed to build the Great Wall of America.
You want us to build a wall that goes all the way to the Atlantic Ocean?
Hey, when do we get paid for this? Did you say get paid for this? You don't start building and I'm gonna pay you right now with a bullet in the head. You get to keep your life. That's your payment.
On that cue, Juan and Yepe head for the Mexican hills. Billy and Miguel follow as bullets whiz by. At a tanning salon slash wine bar in the Washington, D.C. area, under the warm glow of ultraviolet and infrared lights, we see the Speaker of the House smoking a cigarette as he watches the President of the United States on TV delivering his State of the Union address.
Now, I have to imagine that when a younger John Lewis woke up that morning, 50 years ago, and made his way to Brown Chapel.
Look at this sanctimonious piece of crap we've got for a president. Oh, Mr. Healthcare for Everyone. That was my idea and he stole it. Give me another Merlot.
Meanwhile, in San Diego, Billy and Miguel are being questioned by the Border Patrol. What brought you guys here today?
Oh, well, look, I need to find a job, Clyde. You see, I need to get my mother's oxygen tank out of the pawn shop. Her lung collapsed and she needs a shunt.
Oh, a shunt.
Okay, show me some ID.
Miguel shows his green card while reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under a higher power, indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
Miguel has no problem getting back into the U.S. Billy, on the other hand, has no formal ID, doesn't know the Pledge of Allegiance, and becomes hostile when he realizes he's not getting through.
What the heck is this? The Pledge of Allegiance? I'm an American. I have a right not to know squat. You want me to prove I'm an American? Here, try this on. Mickey Mantle, the greatest pitcher that ever stood on the mound. Hey. The legendary Ted Williams, the Boston Red Sox. He was cryogenically frozen. His head fell off and it was slipping all over the floor of the laboratory. All of a sudden it got kicked and it hit a cat can and the cat can fused to his head. Who else but a red-blooded American would know that?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but ever since the Patriot Act, what with the terrorism and all, we gotta enforce the rules.
Are you shitting me? This country was founded by patriotic terrorists like George frickin' Washington. I'm more American than you, you rent-a-cop, sock-sewing fothermucker.
Oh, boy, the situation escalates until the point where Billy is detained for being a possible security threat.
You want to start? Go ahead, bring it. Come over here. I'm not going over there. Come at me.
I hate to do this, but...
My eye!
Back at Billy's mom's house, we see what appears to be bird feet tapping at a computer keyboard. Gus the parrot stares at the computer screen intently as an entry appears in the search window. Weather. WTF. Meanwhile, at Guantanamo Bay, Billy is being interrogated. General Scheisentrauser and some CIA personnel watch from the other side of a two-way mirror. Billy is asked what he thinks about liberals.
Oh, hippies are the worst. I hate hippies with their new sounds, unidentifiable time signatures, and these shredders. You need a magnifying glass and a pack of bloodhounds to find a melody. And don't get me started on fusion. Before hippies, I was the third best jazz drummer in Michigan. But then those long-haired, free-loving freaks came along with their rock and roll, and that killed my career and ruined my life!
Billy's captors quickly realize they have found the perfect candidate to pull off their secret mission.
Do you want to serve your country?
No offense, but is this a paying gig?
How does $1,000 sound?
I'm all ears, General. Bottom line me, baby.
Your mission, Secret Agent Bastard, should you choose to accept it, and you have no choice but to accept it, will be to carry out Operation 1600 for 20.
Oh, look, I'm not good with numbers. Can you lay it on me with some English?
This Saturday night, there will be a bipartisan charity dinner for international dignitaries at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Posing as a replacement chef, because the actual White House chef will have suddenly taken ill, you will gain access to the White House. That's when you'll take this, a giant garbage bag full of chronic weed, and seize the opportunity to plant it in the Oval Office to frame the president. Listen next week as...
Needs oregano.
Listen carefully. First, take this wad of cash down to one of those red light districts and hire one of those working girls. Then, get her to put on this blue dress.
Okay, honey, be a good boy and take off your pants so you can be a bad boy.
It's time now for Song Demolition.
Okay, as promised last podcast, we're going to take a closer look at that classic Billy Joel song, The Piano Man.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Wait, stop! We get trouble coming right out of the gate. Okay, first off, this line, his line, making love to his tonic and gin. You know, what's that from the House of Bad Metaphors? I mean, I can't even imagine an old man sitting next to me humping his glass of gin and tonic, you know? I mean, how do you make love to the drink? I don't even want to think about it.
Is that some kind of fetish?
I don't know. I've never done it. I've never done anything to a bottle, a shot glass, or a Mai Tai, or none of it.
He says, son, can you play me a memory? I'm not really sure how it goes. But it's sad and it's sweet and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes.
This is the single dumbest question ever asked by anyone in history. Son, can you play me a memory? I'm not really sure how it goes. Great, I hope that all request night isn't that everybody doesn't know what it is they want him to play. That's fun.
What is this, metaphysical night at the piano bar?
Now John at the bar is a friend of mine. He gets me my drinks for free. And he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke.
Okay, stop. Stop it right there. John at the bar is a friend of mine, and he's quick with a joke, and he lights up your smoke. And, hey, did you hear the one about the piano-playing basset hound who's about as sparkling as a mug of warm beer? No?
Your smoke, but there's some place that he'd rather be. He says, Bill, I believe this is killing me.
Oh, yeah, no kidding, this song is killing everybody.
Well, I'm sure. I could get out of this place. Oh, la, la, la,
oh, good luck with that. It's a profession where there's 95% unemployment.
Now Paul is a real estate novelist who never had time for a wife. And he's talking with David, who's still in the
Davy?
And
who's Davy? All right. Stop the music! Stop the music!
What the heck is a real estate novelist?
I don't know. Fictional stories about location, location, location. But what I want to know is, how is it that he never had time for a wife, but he's got all the time in the world to hang out with Davy from the Navy at the bar?
In the Navy,
a periscope...
Rear Admiral.
And the waitress is practicing politics as the businessmen slowly get stoned. Yes, they're sharing a drink they call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone.
Of course, Sarah Palin had to start somewhere, you know, captive audience, all drunks.
Saturday, a and the manager gives me a smile. 'Cause he knows that it's me they've been calling.
Me, me, me. He's got singer's disease. Me, it's all about me. You know you this piano man, I would venture a guess that it's not you that they're coming to see. They're coming to see Sam Buka, Jimmy Beam, Jackie Daniels, and Mr. Boston. Here's some sourdough and some pumpernickel. What is he now, too good for them? So this crowd on this ship of fools seems to think that he's too good for them. What kind of a people, who are they going to get besides him? I don't know. They're giving him the go-ahead to go forth and not be a loser like the rest of them?
Well, there it is.
But I love that song, you know? Seriously, I really do. And at the time, it was really something. I mean, it was way up high on the charts, and it was something you could believe in, too, you know? Carry on, piano man. Godspeed. And up Periscope. Ow! Ow! Hey, it's our boss, the littlest CEO.
How's it going, Chief?
Ow! Ow! That's how it's going!
What's the matter?
I've got an earache. Ow!
Can we help you in any way?
My ear is protesting the sound of your podcast. I downloaded the podcast. I started listening, and all of a sudden, the mere sound of your voices gave me a big, fat earache.
Well, wouldn't it make sense to just not listen?
You know, that's one of the worst things when you're a kid is the dreaded earache.
Yeah, you're right. Does it feel like Ebola?
Maybe it's E. coli.
Listen, you two macaques. It's an earache! It was caused by your podcast. An earache! Ow!
Well, how does it feel exactly?
It feels like I got shot in the face, Jerry! Help me!
Okay. Hold on. I gotta check the poor Richard's farmer's almanac. Okay, here it is. Earache. Earache. All right, there it is. Earache, a common yet extremely painful childhood malady.
Thanks for the update. Help me.
Hold it. Moment. They have a treatment here, according to this. First thing you need to do is drain the ear by way of gravitation. Hey, Jim, grab his left leg.
Okay.
And I'll grab his right leg.
All right. Fruit roll-ups? Bubble gum? What was that, your cell phone?
Whoa, what the heck is that? Is that a gun?
Looks like a Glock. Nice.
Is it registered?
Of course it's registered. I bought it at the gun show in Riverside, you dummy. Don't you know it's all legal? Wait, I get a friggin' earache. Fix it! Or maybe I'll visit the gun show again.
Okay, Billy, what else does the almanac say?
All right, wait. Let's see. Gently shake the sufferer up and down.
Okay.
All I can say is this better work. Ow! 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 What are you doing?
Okay, Billy, what's next?
Let me check the book. It says, in Tibet, they treat all kinds of illnesses, including earaches. We got it now. I mean, it makes sense to me. They're so high up, they're probably born with earaches.
Okay, put me down, you two cement heads. So what are you telling me?
Well, look, according to this, if you go to Tibet, you can get your earache fixed.
And you can become a monk.
Yeah, and get stabbed to death by Chinese.
What?
I'm just kidding about the genocide part. But it does say here that you will get results because their medicine is old.
People from around the world go there on pilgrimage for all kinds of old stuff.
Just make sure you bring your snowsuit.
And a Sherpa.
Oh, don't forget to pin your mittens to your sleeves so you look like you know what you're doing.
Okay, good idea.
And just remember, when you get off your plane in Tibet, just ask anybody where you need to get your ear fixed. They all know.
I hope this isn't a waste of jet fuel. That stuff is expensive.
Ow! No. Look, you can afford the jet fuel, but what you can't afford is going around feeling like you do. It'll be the death of you.
Well,
Well, if you put it that way, I guess I better get going. Okay, but before I go, I want to leave you with two thoughts. One, you will be fired. And two, you're... Ow!
Yeah, we know.
We know.
Because we're weak.
There you go. Ow!
King Guy, we help him out and he leaves us with that.
Hope he's not headed to the gun show.
Yeesh.
All right, by the sounds of the groovy music, it must be time for our next guest, the world's greatest inspirational consultant, Jairaj.
Welcome back, Jairaj. Happy to have you here again, because we depend on you to fill up some programming time. But there are people lining up to talk to you today, people who need to be inspired. And
well, I'm happy to be here, to elucidate, enlighten, edify, and supply answers to the benighted, befuddled, and the bedraggled.
How was your flight, Jairaj?
I didn't fly here.
You didn't fly here?
No, I didn't fly here.
Well, what did you do, take one of those Legionnaires' disease cruises?
I wouldn't set foot on one of those floating ecological disasters.
Well, if you didn't fly or float, how did you get here?
I drove.
What, from India?
Yes, from India. First, you have to travel north to leave the country, and then you cross the Baltic Sea. Then you have to pass through the country of Tuva, and then into your basic Russia. Lots of Asian Russians there. And now, if you stay on that course, you will reach the Aleutian Islands. Then on to Alaska, you keep traveling south through the Banff, past the Lake Louise, down through Washington, and eventually reaching Southern California, where we find the City of the Angels, Los Angeles.
What I meant was, what mode of transportation did you use?
I drove a car, of course.
What kind of car could you drive here all the way from India?
Wait for it. Dun, dun, dun. The Hindustan Ambassador.
The Hindustan Ambassador. I've never heard of it.
Is that a real car?
Yes, it's a real car.
They make cars in India?
Of course they do, nitwit. India makes the finest cars in the world.
Oh, here it is. Check it out. It's the Hindustan Ambassador.
Wow, it's real. But what is it?
The Ambi only happens to be the Cadillac of India.
It looks more like a bedpan.
The Hindustan happens to be the longest-running production of any car.
Oh, yeah. It says that right here, that the Hindustan started production in 1957.
That's correct. This is more real than you think.
Okay, so this car has a 2-liter Isuzu 52-horsepower diesel motor.
Yes, it runs on diesel and mango lassi. You know, the popular honey yogurt beverage.
And it has a 78 pound per foot of torque at a revving 2200 RPM. Not much acceleration there.
The entire back seat is made of alu paratha.
Okay.
20 miles to the gallon.
That's not bad.
Well, for 2 liter, that's...
In India, we have our own way of saving fuel.
Oh, like what?
We went out and made sure that there's no place anybody would want to go to.
Shizzle rats. I thought we had you on that one.
Uh-oh. Not good. It says here that the Hindustan has been discontinued. Hindustan Motors has temporarily suspended operations at its Uttarpara plant in West Bengal, leaving the fate of the HM Ambassador hanging. Media reports this morning list mounting losses, paucity of funds, growing indiscipline, low productivity, etc., as reasons for the closure effective from the 24th of May.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Oh.
Are you crying? He's crying. He just got up. He's leaving. He's fleeing the interview.
Hold on. We didn't take any calls yet, Jairaj.
Come on, Jairaj. Come back here. Please, just take one call.
All right, I'll take one call.
Okay, great. We have on line 5, Roof Tuttle, calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Hi, Roof.
Hi.
Is that short for Rufus?
No.
All right, well, what's your question for Jairaj?
I have a 49 Hudson in the garage.
Has it been restored?
No, it hasn't.
So you called. Do you have a question?
No, I just heard you talking about cars.
So, Roof, do you have anything else to talk about?
Well, I do have a collection of beagle skulls.
All right. Thank you, Roof, for calling in.
You know, it's my firm belief that everybody just shut down their computer and the show is no longer.
What about me?
Well, you can leave and stop crying.
Oh.
Okay, thanks, Shairaj. Bye.